Good evening, squaddies. We made it to another day. It is the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 40, bloody one, as Amanda might say. This is the Friday Fan Forum, and boy, do we have a treat for you tonight. Let's roll! Good evening, everyone. It's been an amazing week here at the Highbury Squad, an amazing week of shows. Thanks to our good friends, Football Prizes, as well, for all of their support this week. We've been inundated with the Kieran Tierney shirt, and the auction is happening right about now. Good luck to Zamir, who won the free ticket, and to all of our squaddies who bought a ticket. We're rooting for you. Okay. Welcome back to the show, Princess Guna, PG.
Yay! Hello.
Welcome.
What's happening to you?
What?
Can anyone hear that Sophie's breaking up, or is it me?
No, just you, I think.
Is it me breaking up again? Oh, God. Hello, everyone. Can you hear
me?
We're
not breaking up. Yes. We're not breaking up.
Can
hear you fine. Yes. Yeah, we're not breaking
I'm
up.
Back.
Woo. And welcome to the show, as ever, the legend that is Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell.
Whoa! Yes, we're back. I'm back. PG's back.
Yay!
And we've got a special guest.
We do. And I'm going to let Amanda introduce our special guest this evening. Can't wait for this one. You guys, remember, we always want you guys to know about the history of Arsenal, and we have a diverse fan base here, and our squaddies go from millennials to Generation A, Z, Generation X, baby boomers, and tonight we've got a very special show. So, Amanda, over to you.
Over to me. So, everyone in chat, tonight we've got my very good friend Karen's mum, Irene, who is a massive, massive Guna. Look at that flag. And Irene, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, Irene, let's just start off. How long have you been going over the Arsenal? And how did it all start?
Well, I don't remember my very early years because I went when I was about two. And I used to go and stand in the North Bank on my dad's shoulders. He stood
tell
and I was
Irene,
on his shoulders.
Irene, tell us what year that was.
It must have been 1951.
Wow. None of us were born.
And I mean, I'm nearly 72 now, but I don't remember those early years. And then when I was obviously a little bit older, we used to stand, and I'd stand always. We always stood. And later we got season tickets, but that was very much later. So that's all I ever knew was Arsenal.
Yeah.
Just from that very young age.
Has it come from your dad?
Yes. Yeah,
it all does, doesn't it?
And where are you from? Where are you from, Irene?
I came from Stoke Newington.
Right.
Right in the heart of it.
That was right in the heart of it. I mean, I think we used to maybe get buses. And when I was little, my mum, God rest her soul, she used to tell me that my dad carried me on my shoulders onto the bus into Highbury there. So that was different. People didn't have cars then.
Yeah.
You know, it was all very different.
Who was your, what sort of teams do you remember back from the 60s then?
I can't remember many from as early as that. I can remember the 70s more. I mean, there's that certain patch, whether I don't remember or I didn't go so much, but I mean, I just remember Brady, Tony Adams and McDonald and everyone, Alan Smith and all of those, they were just, the best bit is I could remember their names. I've got a list here of their names now because I can't always pronounce them.
Irene, I need you to explain about your grandsons, okay? So
yes.
One of them is Arsenal and he's actually asked Kev a question here once. That was lovely, Zach.
Yeah.
And who does Zach play for now?
Well, Zach plays for Grassroots somewhere in, I think it's Walthamstow.
That's right. And how old is he?
14.
14. Yeah. And what about the other one?
He's at Watford.
Yeah.
And he's in their academy at Watford. He's nearly 12.
Which one played for them?
Which one played for
that position?
That lot down the road.
Don't mention it, Irene.
No.
Yes, he was at them for some time. He was there about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel seeing your grandson play for that lot?
Well, it was, I couldn't stand it. But the worst bit was when I used to go and pick him up when Zach was at the development for Arsenal. He was at the development for Arsenal in Harlow, and I stayed with Josh while he played there. We won't mention the name. Yeah. And I used to be in the foyer. I used to get my coffee and my hot chocolate, and I was surrounded by Tottenham. That they weren't just mums and dads. They were all Tottenham supporters, and I just hated it. And then you get the matches are on the big screens. If it was match day, I hated it.
Yeah, sick.
That's hard, isn't it? Yes. I've always said that. I mean, as Karen knows, Jack, my son, hates football so much. He's really not into it. But I used to see Karen's Facebook of when the kids were playing for Tottenham, and I'd be like, oh, my God, how does Irene feel?
You know. I hated it. Actually, that's something I could just ask you, really. Would you have ever liked to have played football?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I used to. I was absolutely rubbish. And I was, what was it called? Rush goalie at school. Mm. I was so bad at football, Irene. I really was. I was more of a hockey, netball sort of quite competitive in those sports.
Yes, yeah.
I played for the county for hockey, obviously a defender. But I was never really good at football.
Well, it's so different now, isn't it? I mean, not so much for your generation, but for my generation, we never even had women play football.
No, it started. And I actually met the Arsenal women back in the 90s. I did people don't know this, but I did a little TV program. And I went to Highbury, and I've got pictures of me on the pitch. And then I went in the training grounds at Highbury, the inside bit, Kev. What's that called? Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Like the gym part.
Yeah, the gym part. Where there's a pitch.
Clocking. Yeah.
And I was never into women's football. It wasn't for me. But watching them hit the ball and kick a ball with such power, mm-hmm. I was gobsmacked, to be honest, Irene, how good they were. And that was like in the 90s.
But when they haven't got their kit on, they look so feminine.
I know, but they love it. They love the football.
But they can kick the ball like that, and they look feminine if you saw them out.
I was rushed goalie, actually.
I tried to get a trial. I wanted to play football really badly. So when I was in junior school, I was playing on the boys' team. And then when it came to like playing for our county, like in Enfield and stuff, they wouldn't let me play. I was way ahead of my time, if you like. They just used to let me play against all the other classes and stuff like that. And then my dream was to play for Arsenal, of course. And I was so tiny. It was before Messi changed the game for small people and small players. I remember in my trial, they were putting weights on my ankles and stuff like that. I was like a creative midfielder. And then my school developed a ladies team and stuff like that. So I was able to play for the ladies team. But I always say if there's one wish I had, I wish I was born in this era, because the way the women's game has gone and the opportunities is really unbelievable. I mean, I remember, you know, being pelted and laughed at and teased, you know, for being a girl that wanted to play the game.
Yeah.
But a lot of people who understood knew that I was a really good player. So to answer your question, that was my dream to play football, it just wasn't the era or the time at all for that.
What was your position, Soph?
Creative midfielder. I love spreading the ball, like passing, sweeping passes.
We should have known it was going to be creative.
I was
Santi
Cazorla.
We should have known it.
You knew it would be in defence.
That was my one favourite player, Santi Cazorla.
Oh yeah.
I said that on our Instagram. Oh, he was my, I met him down at the, when his son was playing, but that was one of my favourite players. I'd have him back tomorrow, but it's nothing to do with me, is it?
No.
I'd have him back.
Irene, I think he got the feeling of Arsenal. He could connect with the fans as well, couldn't he? He was a special, not only player, but I think he was a special guy as well.
He was a lovely person when we met him. He was so lovely.
Yeah.
I'd say if it was down to me, I'd have him back.
I'd like to go a little bit back then, because you talked about the 50s, and you know, it was amazing how when we look back at those pictures of the Clock End and the North Bank and just the way the stadium was back then, and then you said that you started going more in the 70s and stuff. And I think a lot of the times now, Irene, we're so spoiled as Arsenal fans because we've had so much success over the years. And
absolutely.
Sophie, so I've got a question for Irene.
Jump in, Casey. You can jump.
No, I don't. This isn't Arsenal related, but where were you in 1966 when England won the World Cup?
Oh, that's a good one.
Let me think. I think it would have been a Saturday, would it have been? Or a Sunday? I
believe it probably would have been a Saturday. It would have been a Saturday or a Sunday, probably, for the World Cup final.
So how old would I have been then?
30th of July, 1966, because I was born 30th of July, 1969. So that's the only way I know it.
So I think I must have been working.
Right.
I must have been working. I can remember where I was when the man landed on the moon. Because I always remember that. But I think with the football, I think I was working because I always worked on a Saturday as a hairdresser.
The reason why I ask is because obviously your dad's a football man.
Yes.
So obviously there must have been some, he must have been delighted, was he not?
Absolutely.
That England won the World Cup.
Yes. And when we're going to win it again? That's what I want to know.
Oh, probably not in our lifetime.
I don't know. I don't know, I'll be honest.
Let's not worry about England winning the World Cup. We've got to win the Premier League. We've got to win the Champions League.
Can I just read John Hill?
Europa League, please.
Europa League, excuse me. That's all we've got now.
Yeah, that's the first one.
John Hill, I'm sure here, when he typed this out, was saying, come on, Irene. Whoa. Go on, carry on.
So but I want to ask you, I'll go and Soph.
No, I was going to say, in my lifetime, I thought I would see England win the Euros or the World Cup before seeing the motherland Greece win it. You know, so just going back to 66, I remember my dad telling me what it was like just being in London at the time, being in the country at the time, and the manner in which, you know, we won, and then obviously to beat Germany, Wembley State. I mean, it's like pipe dreams, right? Unbelievable.
They just set in it. Yeah, it was set.
Yeah. So go on. Sorry, Amanda.
I was just gonna ask Irene. I need to ask you this. Where were you on the 26th of May, 1989?
When we
beat Liverpool at Anfield.
I was working. I was watching it. I was watching
what,
it on the telly. Was it? Was that? Yeah. Well, I did work on Friday.
It was Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday night.
I think I was working and watching it on the telly.
Oh my God!
And what was that for you? How did you celebrate?
With a good cup of coffee because I don't drink, and a fag, and a cigarette,
and a fag.
Don't smoke now.
What was your favourite game? Have you got one?
I think my favourite game was the last game that we won the Invincibles. That was my favourite game when I knew that we'd got it and nobody else will ever get it again.
Yeah,
that to me was amazing. That was to me because I knew it was something that I didn't think anyone would ever do again.
And that gold trophy means a lot, doesn't it? It means a lot to everybody who's Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it's there's not much at the moment that we can say, well, we've got that. Nobody else can get it. But that is something I don't think anyone will ever do again. Yeah, so that is one we can say is ours.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
So you've got a very mixed household because your son-in-law supports who?
Chelsea.
Yeah.
And Josh is Chelsea. And they're doing okay at the moment.
Yeah.
Can't say they're not. But I feel that we've splattered along, but I have a bit more faith now, you know.
Do you have faith in Arteta?
Yeah, Irene. Is it because, look, you've seen the ups and downs. You've been on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Do you, obviously, now that Arteta's there, do you see him starting to impact his knowledge and his grip on the squad now, as opposed to before where it was kind of rudderless?
Yeah, I think he obviously needs time, as all new managers do. And I think he's got the right idea because I think he must have learnt so much at Manchester City anyway, even though he was only second, whatever. But I feel he's got a wonderful rapport with the squad. And I think he tends to give a lot of people that players that people criticise. He seems to give them a chance, as if he doesn't kind of rubbish them off. He gives them a chance to get it right. Mm-hmm. Really, that's what I feel. I feel that that's what you need.
Yeah. Irene, you've seen quite a few managers, or a few 70s, 80s, 90s, of course. Right through to Wenger and the modern era of, Lundberg as stepping in, and then Emery and Arteta.
Yeah.
Who's been your favourite ever Arsenal manager, and tell us why?
Oh, it had to be Arsene Wenger. It was just his. It was what he did to ordinary players, and it was also to do with the mindsets as well. I mean, they were kind of ordinary players or good players, but he made them into so many of them into super players. And I think you need to be motivated, not just with your feet, with your head as well. You have to believe in yourself. And I think he always believed in them. I really do.
I think he believes in them a bit too much by what I was reading today.
Well, yeah.
Funny enough, there was an article about the fact that he didn't want to buy so many players. He had faith in his squad, full stop. Really weirdly, you mentioned that. I read that today.
Yeah, well, that might have been his downfall. Mm. That might have been actually where it went wrong for him, because he just didn't get it right in the end, really. No.
So I want to ask you this too, because like me, you've got multiple fans in the family, and you seen by your banner behind you, by the way. I love that. Come on, you Gunners. Absolutely brilliant. And your shirt, flash that shirt. I mean, you got, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely superb. My dad's a United fan. My sister's a United fan. My brother is a Spurs fan.
Don't say it.
Sorry, it tasted so
I'm it everywhere, I know. Have you been in any fights, like, I mean, serious fights? Because I have with my sister and my brother big time, like to the point where we haven't spoken in a couple of days because of certain games and rivalries. I had to sit there that night at home when, do you guys remember when Tony Parks made that save in the penalty shootout at White Hart Lane?
Oh, geez.
Was that the Cup Winners' Cup, Kev, or the...
Was it UEFA Cup, wasn't it?
Was it the UEFA Cup?
UEFA Cup, I think. Yeah.
Had to sit there.
Oh, my God.
But then they had to sit there with me when... was it Linegan, the header? In the
FA Cup final. Replay.
In the replay. So, you know, they wanted to smack me over the head on that one. So, Irene, I'm just wondering if you've had any of those moments with the family.
Not really. Not with the family, because I just always feel that we respect each other a little bit. We know that we're very hot-headed and how we feel about our team. So we kind of keep it good. Maybe that's because I'm older and they respect me because I'm older. So we don't get any of that kind of, whatever you call it.
Banter.
Yes.
Irene, maybe they know that you blast them too much. Yes. That's why.
Well, but I do know at certain games years ago, you know, if there were hostile fans, you had to really keep it very, you know, that they didn't know you were an Arsenal fan and things like that. That I always thought. I mean, I've got some funny stories about that. And that's where I always knew to keep my mouth shut regardless.
As long as I didn't share it, Irene.
Well, you've got to tell us.
Yeah, like Hastings Gooner here. Look, evening when I went to my first game age 2. 1962, Man City on dad's shoulders. As a kid, if I swore, I got a smack. Spud word, got grounded for a week. Come on, you got to share your story now that he shared his.
It was, I think it must have been the 1970s when it was just before Christmas, and it was, I think it was December the 21st on a Friday, and it was an away game at Tottenham. And my dad got tickets from his friend, and we didn't know where we were sitting. We had our own season tickets at Highbury, but didn't know where we were sitting. And as we went in through the turnstile, he said, put your scarf away. He said, we're going to be sitting behind the Tottenham goal. And he said,
oh, God.
So he said, and he was a bit older then, so he said to me, whatever you do, put your scarf away, put your hat away, and just say nothing. So I said, what do you mean say nothing? He said, well, just make out you're a Tottenham supporter. So I said, okay. I said, well, whatever goes. And I was a bit worried about my dad because they used to drink then. I mean, we're going back a good few years. Anyway, That was the night we beat them 5-0. Every time they scored, my dad said, just bang your feet. I went like that on the floor. And everybody around me was swearing and Arsenal this and Arsenal that. And I was just agreeing with them. So yeah. One goal went in, two, three, four, five. So when we came to go out, everyone was effing and this and that. So I said to my dad as we went out, when can I cheer? He said, yes. When you get into Park Lane. So I got into Park Lane and I just ran all the way up screaming, we won, 5-0, 5-0. That was awful, the whole match.
Oh, terrible.
I love it.
Oh, Irene, I remember going to Tottenham in the 80s and sitting in the opposite where the players come out. So I don't know their stands are called. I took a few of my friends with because it was just a different era. I just said to them, and they weren't into football, my friends.
No.
And we sat there, and obviously I knew everything. We sat there, and honestly, my friend went, now, where do we score then? It was literally, they had no clue. They had no idea. Like, they didn't even know we swapped ends. They didn't know what colour we were. They just came with me because I got a couple of free tickets. They wanted to experience it. Well, it didn't last long. We scored. And yes, the bloke, I went like that. Like, oh my God, like that. He went, you didn't call us gooners then. Yeah. He said, you're Arsenal, aren't you? Mm. And I taught the girls religiously to say we're neutral. We've just come
because that's what you have to do.
We're girls at football that don't know anything. Yeah. They didn't, but I was like, yeah, we're just girls at football. We just got some free tickets and we're just like fangirls. Yeah. He looked at me and he went, you know your football. Because he could, maybe you listen to me, right? When we scored, he looked at me and he went, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. I'd get out now. That's what he said to me. And my friends were like this. And I was like, no, it's all right. I'm just coming around. I'm just like, I was like acting all like this.
Right.
And then people behind us were calling us names that I cannot repeat on a family show.
Yes.
And my friends were petrified. And I was laughing. I mean, I was only a teenager. But it's so funny, the hatred. I mean, obviously, I've been to many Tottenham games over the years. And sat with the Arsenal lot, and it's fantastic. But when you sit, actually, the worst one I've ever done was sitting at West Ham with the West Ham lot, and the West Ham women were the worst I've ever experienced in my whole life. And it was the time when Neil Ruddock spat at Patrick Vieira. I could see it coming. I could see off the ball what was going on because I was in the Arsenal were there, and I was there. The women at West Ham are just vile. But it isn't easy going to an away ground and pretending you're not a supporter of that team.
It's hard. I'll share one with you, which is the worst, right?
Can I just tell you something else that you'll laugh over? At West Ham, I had to get up and sing the Paolo Di Canio song.
Oh, my God. That's never.
Got up and I was like, Paolo Di Canio. I had no choice. I would have been killed.
Survival. It is survival of the fittest. Someone's calling your new nickname's Braveheart, PG. Braveheart.
I love that.
I'm not. I'm such a scaredy cat. At Tottenham, I stood behind Robbie. I was that scared when I was going into Tottenham. I was behind Robbie and everybody on Arsenal Fan TV because it was vile. But anyway, go on.
So 1997, UEFA Cup, we were good in 97, guys, you know.
Yes.
And we were playing Balk. Greek team.
Who?
So, Balk.
Oh, hold on. Is that with a P?
Yeah, P-A-O-K.
Yeah, okay, Salonika.
Balk Salonika, right?
Yeah.
And my sister, who's the Man United fan, and my cousin George, who's a Tottenham fan, really wanted to come to the game to see a Greek team play. And so me and my cousin George, Hippodrome George, were like, fine, come with us. We're sitting in the North Bank, right? And me and George are really cocky and confident. We've got this, yeah. I think we wanted to kill them both at the end of the game because, as you guys know, they dumped us out of the UEFA Cup that night. And when Balk scored, my Tottenham cousin George stood up in the middle of the North Bank because his Tottenham instinct in him was to go, yeah!
No way.
And as he got up and he saw it and he saw the Arsenal fans turning around, he literally's like, you wanker, what are you doing? I can't believe you just let that goal in. My cousin George grabs him and pulls him down. My sister is doing her feet like this as if to say, oh my God, thank God that, you know, because they were so against us. On the way home, I thought my cousin George was literally going to kill my sister. It was the worst ride home. But literally the only person that stood up in the North Bank, it was one of those moments where I'm like, do I let my cousin get battered or do I save him because he's family?
How old was he at the time?
He was 19. He was young. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was like, he didn't know
it's
any
so
better.
It's fascinating that people have got mixed families. My whole family are Arsenal. I don't know if I could cope with any brothers or sisters supporting another. My nephews and nieces, even my ex family, my ex-husband's family, they're all Arsenal. Everyone's Arsenal. So I really don't know. But it's just, I just want to just go back on what Sophie said. It happened to me at Man City when Monreal was pulled down by a company. I was above the Man City fans in a box where Arsenal were down the other end. Mm. And I stood up and I went, that's a, I went, that's a penalty. And everybody, I don't know what you call it, City, literally, they could touch me. I was on a box over the behind the goal. And I went, that's never a penalty. Monreal's dived. And everyone's looking at me because I've just changed exactly what I've just said from that's a penalty.
You spun it.
I did, Kev. I felt they could all climb up. Yes. I was literally so petrified. I was on my own. I was all with all Man City fans who were lovely. They were friends of mine. And I remember being dragged down by someone, one of my friends who was with me, because he realised what I just said. And everyone looked up. They all just turned around to look at me because I was screaming that it was a penalty. And that was the only day that we won at the Etihad and I was there. First time I'd ever been.
You must have been lucky for them.
Then I went again and we got stuffed, so not really.
Look at this, you guys, some of our listeners. Matty K, I stood with Tottenham fans once, was the most horrific time of my life. And
Absolutely.
It still is to this day.
That's all I ever remember.
They're not nice.
We were the only Arsenal people there in that lot. It was terrible.
Crazy. Goal Square, I had to stand in the shelf in the 80s when we lost 2-1 and had to jump up and down making out I was a Spurs fan.
But survival. You had to do it to
but
survive.
But we've all been there.
Had to do that to survive.
Right, I had a run-in with Tottenham fans in a Montreal bar. It was pretty hilarious. It was also three times my size. Lars, I had a t-shirt once which said Jesus saves, but Ian Wright scored on the rebound. Missed that one. Hold on one second. There's another one. Keep going, you guys. Mask Gunner, police moved me in 87 from the shelf to Park Lane, thankfully.
Used to do that, didn't they? If pockets of Arsenal were around the ground, the police would get you out and put you in the away section.
Yeah, yes, Newman, I was in the Chelsea end when Winterburn thumped a 25-yarder in the top corner. I said and did nothing.
But I think the rivalry now is even worse Arsenal and Tottenham. It really is. I think it's even worse than it was. I think football's changed totally.
I think it's worse since we won the league on their turf. I think it became more insufferable for them and toxic and more because one of my favorite videos ever, and I listen to it when I'm a bit blue about football, I just play the Arsenal fan singing, "We won the league at Shite Heart Lane. We won the league at Shite Heart Lane.
I sing that.
Yeah, that keeps me going.
Zach and I sing that sometimes.
Here's a question for you guys from Alcarf. I have a question for the squad. What do you think about foreign fans? Because you sometimes see people from London saying they're not real fans. Irene, what's your take on this? You seem like a woman of the world and someone who understands that fans come from all corners of the earth. What do you think about Alcarf's question?
Well, about foreign fans, I don't think they're made, that they don't act like our type of fans. I think they're passionate, but not in the same way. I don't think there's anything more passionate than English football fans, personally. I really don't.
I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree too. Yeah.
I think what Irene's trying to say is they're different to us. It doesn't mean that they're
less they are different.
Yeah, they're just different. I mean, if you go to Italy and Spain, bloody are they passionate.
Maybe what Irene means, and correct me if I'm wrong, Irene, is Arsenal fans. Because if you've got foreign Arsenal fans who maybe never go to the game, we all know that there's passionate fans all over the world. But Arsenal fans from England who go to the games, etc., that's why sometimes there's a problem. Yes, they say they're not the same as us because, you know, they don't go to the games. But they can't get to the games.
Yeah.
No.
You know what I mean? So maybe that's what you mean, Irene. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're right, actually. The passion is different. But then they're foreign, we're English, so it would be different anyway, really.
It's similar to... because here in the States, I mean, there's a group called Arsenal America, and it has grown and grown and grown. I mean, every state, there's so many different branches, and the fans are so passionate. And if you see it when Arsenal come and play here, it's completely different. And so Irene comes from an era where really there wasn't social media, there wasn't international TV rights, there wasn't all that stuff. It's about going through the turnstiles every single week, and the fans in the stadium are what it's all about. And I think that's the difference now in terms of how the game's grown, and the fact that we get to see Arsenal in America, in Asia, in Australia, and it's a real kind of different part of the game and stuff like that. So yeah, no, MK, I think the whole squad thinks waking up at 4 a.m. is a passion. But remember, generationally, it's very different when you come from a generation. Irene's first game was 2 years old in the 50s. You know, there's no one watching Arsenal in the US or Australia or China in the 50s.
No, that's right.
Yeah, very, very different.
And I'm assuming when you watch it at Highbury like that, there's no, there's definitely no bag search that I have to go through. God, can you imagine in the 50s? You probably just gave a ticket to somebody and you walked in and stood wherever you wanted. And
it was so different.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't on TV. You had to go to matches. Well done. Yeah.
That is, I think, the big difference. Yeah. That was one of my questions I was going to say. Football then was totally different because people that could go as a season ticket holder or buy a ticket, they went and saw the match. And some had, right, they were the lucky ones that went and saw it. But we didn't always have it on TV. Yeah. So the whole concept of it was different. It really was. That didn't mean that there's the ones that can afford to go and the ones that couldn't afford to go. That's just the way it was. But we never had all this on television. I don't mean now while we've had the lockdown. I mean, the last few years.
The access, isn't it, Irene? The access to it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's made it so different.
Yeah.
Better different or worse different?
Well, it's got to be better different in a way because everyone gets to see football now. I mean, you pay for it, but at least you see it. So it's got to be better in that respect. But it's just made it the whole thing different, really.
Yeah.
There's fours and against in it all, isn't there? There's fours in it different. That, you know, we could have a global fan base now of dedicated gooners around the world. And we could, on platforms like this, they can get to speak and see and ask questions from all over the world.
Yeah.
But we've seen the other side of it when social media at times, you know, things start to run a little bit hot and people start to say derogatory things, etc. So there's always pros and cons of accessibility.
Absolutely.
Also, you guys, and I live in California now, and I have done for 20 years. Obviously, I come home often, and I'm in Europe often and stuff. But I will say this. Just like there are fans of the Rams here, fans in Oakland of the Rams moving city to city, or, you know, the LA Kings, the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's going to... If you're a LA person and you're a Laker fan, I mean, there's a different vibe to you. Doesn't mean that a Laker fan in Australia doesn't love the Lakers as much. But being a North London girl, growing up in it, you know, there's that cultural connection, right? That and football's tribal, right? So we all support each other. And I think that's the difference too, is that you can fall in love with someone and be in love with the team as much as anyone. when you grow up in the city and the town, and a little bit like PG and her dad ingraining her in it and stuff like that too, there's that connection that comes from growing up. And I think that can be said for any sport in any city, in any town across this great universe. So, yeah. And Norman backing me up on the North London, innit?
North London, Newman. Absolutely.
I wanted to ask Amanda something. If I can ask you a question.
You can.
Be nice.
I love it. Irene turning host.
No, I only wanted to ask you something. I've had so many memorable occasions because I was my dad's Arsenal partner. He's not here anymore, but you are your dad's Arsenal partner. I was wondering about one of your most memorable things.
Hold on. Oh, God. Hold on. Yeah. Everyone take a shot. Everyone take a shot. Get your
the
shots
most
ready.
Memorable thing you can remember that really happened to you two that you just stands out.
Well, surprisingly, they're all going to say Anfield. And of course, yes. And it was. And Irene, he stopped me leaving before Mickey Thomas scored because I'd had enough because Mickey Thomas had missed. And being a stroppy teenager, I went, oh, I've had enough. I want to go home. We're not going to beat them, are we? One bloody goal. We're not going to win and whatever. But one of the most.
Best.
He did. And, you know, he really did. But one of my most memorable was my first live final, which was 1987 April when we beat Liverpool. Charlie Nicholas was my hero at the time, and I had the most amazing seats. For some reason, I was on the steps where all the players walked up. So if you look at the pictures of Charlie Nicholas, he's got my hat and scarf. I gave it to him as he ran around Wembley. But first final I've ever been to live. In 1979, I didn't get to go. I was only 10 and I didn't get to go. And my dad parted with the 1979 team at the London Hilton, I think. So 1987 was a memory for me. Wembley Way. I was, what, 17, nearly 17, 18. I'd never been to Wembley, never experienced it. So as much as everyone's going to say Anfield, I think that was it. But Irene, I've got thousands. Yeah. One of the funniest memories I've got, and you had to be there because I promise you it was hilarious, were when Arsenal played at Chelsea and David Platt was in our team. So God knows what year it was.
We managed
to get in where Kev and his lot got off the coach. And we were a few Arsenal fans were there, and my dad starts talking Italian to David Platt. My dad's favourite country in the world, apart from England, is Italy. We went there as a child every year. And he starts talking in Italian, and David Platt's fluent in Italian, and he starts talking back, and my dad hasn't got a clue. My dad knows about seven words, right? But he sounded so convincing that David Platt actually thought was an Italian Juventus fan or something that had come over for the day. I know it doesn't sound funny,
yeah, it does.
But when you're standing there and David Platt's talking to you in pure Italian and we ain't got a clue, my dad carried on for a little bit. But I am an actual carbon copy of my dad at football, as in, like, I'm a warrior now. I've turned into him. I'm such a warrior. But,
there's plenty to worry about at the moment.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I literally...
honestly, so I mean, it's very different for me as well now.
I think, but my dad doesn't go to the Emirates anymore. He's stopped two seasons, I think, now. I have his seat, my seat. Was next to him, so I just swapped it, and I'm in his seat, basically. And it isn't the same, but generations change.
You are one of the people that I say that all the time. There's nothing like Highbury.
No, nothing.
I know the Emirates is lovely, but Highbury was Highbury.
And everyone knows that, Irene. But absolutely. He is, and we will get him on a show with you because it would be brilliant to have you two on the show.
Irene.
The memories.
Yes.
Irene, do you think we left our heart at Highbury?
Absolutely.
I think we left our soul.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, we left so much at Highbury.
Absolutely.
For a lovely spaceship, but it's got no heart, and it's got no heart and soul in it yet, has it? You know.
I've always thought that. I mean, times change. You have to move on. But yes, things were never the same. Really. Up with high, but I must just tell you this: when I wasn't too old, so I knew I must have been in my under 10. My dad used to get to Highbury so early that I thought he was the man that opened the gates. don't it really? I always used to say to them, the gates are closed. But he said, no, they'll open soon. And in my own little mind, I thought he was in charge of the gates because we were the first people. We were the first people there.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
He always wanted to be there. And I thought he opened the gate. I mean, we've even turned up for one match. Can't remember what match it was. And when we got into Avenel Road, I said to him, it's very quiet here, Dad, isn't it? So he said, well, we're always early. I said, yeah, but the peanut man's not there. And the man that sells the
programs.
Programs, he's not there. And I really can't see anybody here at all. So I said to him, turn on the radio, because we haven't had the radio on while we're here. Of course, maybe they've postponed the match to a little bit later. They'd actually postponed it altogether, so there was no match at all.
We've
come all the way from Ilford, and we didn't have the radio. When we got there so early, there was no match at all. So we went and got fish and chips and sat in the car on it.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
But that's a disadvantage going so early.
People your age, the stories would be... We need to find more people like you, Irene, for the stories, because I've got stories, but they're from the 80s and onwards. But so many funny things happen at football, don't they?
I mean...
tell us your other story about the food.
All right, let me say, we always got there very early, opened the gates, as you know. So my dad, we had our salmon bagels and coffee, and we used to put it under our seat. And then we used to go into the restaurant. Actually, in the restaurant then, you could actually sit with the players. Do you remember that? The players used to sit.
No, he's not that old.
No.
Some of the players would sit in the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I know he looks older than me. But
I've seen the pictures of that, actually.
Yeah, they used to sit there. Anyway, so we met my dad's friends. They were called the Marx Brothers. And they were just called, that was their name. And they were friends of my dad's. So we all sat in the restaurant, had a nice meal, had a drink. And then when we came out, we'd been in there ages. When we came out, they said, sorry, it's all cordoned off, that area. So I said, well, where's it cordoned off? They said, I'm sorry, you've all got to stay back. We might be empty in the stadium. We're calling the bomb squad.
And
this was a time when we all had all those bombs in London, you know, the IRA
bombs.
My dad and they just... So I said, excuse me, officer, could you tell me what area? Because it's this area, Block H. Where about... Because I had a feeling what was happening. He said, well, there's an unidentified package down there under those seats. So I said, I'm sorry to say, that is our food.
Salmon bagels.
Salmon bagels and coffee. Oh, and that was something. And it was, those things were happening all the time because of the bombs that were going off in London. They always, if you saw a package, that was it. They closed it down.
But Irene, you kept the game on.
Yeah, I did. That's for sure. Because they might have blown it up, but my mum was so long, bless her.
But it's okay because your dad was controlling the gate.
Yeah, your dad's in control of the gate, and there's smoked salmon bagels all over the pitch. Brilliant.
Oh, that was really very good. I always remember. That's one of the things I always remember.
Brilliant.
And, you know, it was, I think it was like David O'Leary's testimonial. Does anyone remember that?
Yep, Celtic.
Yeah, I said that when I was doing with Zach, doing the Instagram a few weeks ago. That was also a bit of a scary night as well.
Irene, I could help you along with that one, because at the time I was in the youth team. So I was traveling from Brixton to Highbury to get the coach for training.
Yeah.
And I got on the first tube in the morning.
In the morning? Following morning?
In the day of the game.
Yeah.
There's about 50 Celtic fans drunk, asleep, falling all over the place.
Amanda,
I don't know if you've ever heard that on the Instagram I did with Zach, but that's what I said about it. As we walked along, because you know we got there early and we opened the gates, as we always did, there was people drinking, walking along the road. All drunk, weeing everywhere on the cars and the gardens, on people. They didn't care. And then after the match, they were drinking all, because you could drink all through the match then. Then at the end of the match, they were all asleep. I said to my dad, you know, perhaps we ought to wait till the very end and let them go.
Let them go, Do you remember that? Waiting to let, there were certain fans, you'd always be like, wait, let them go.
They're asleep. He said, they're not going to go anywhere. But that was it. I always remember that match. They never, I mean, can't do that now. I mean, drink's a totally different thing now, isn't it?
You're not allowed to drink now.
Yeah, but trust me, they'll find a watering hole to get tanked up. Don't you worry about that.
They did take over that testimonial, that's for sure.
I was thinking today, the most scariest match at Arsenal for me at Highbury was when Millwall came to town. Oh my God. Shivers. On Avenel Road, I was, I don't know what year it was, but one of our... listeners can tell me, and then I can work out my age. I was literally thrown in one of the front gardens. Do you remember the houses that faced Highbury?
Yeah.
I was literally pushed in there and said, "Stay there and keep down." Mm. I was like, "What are you talking about? It's Arsenal. We're at Avenel Road." Well, they came up Avenel Road. Jesus Christ! I was, and I'm not that. I wasn't that scared at those times. And yes, James, it's bagels, not bagels. I've had this whole conversation today. If you're from a certain part of London, like we are, me and Irene and James, it's bagels. Yeah. Everybody, it winds me up.
Bagels,
no such thing. Anyway.
They're saying 91. Someone's Mark's going to say 91.
Right, well, there we go.
Darren's saying 94, but... I remember the Millwall Luton riots, though, were in the 80s, weren't they?
Because there was a
80s, yeah. So, I mean, there were different times,
I remember when I was dating a few years ago and a Millwall fan wanted to take me out.
No way.
Oi, what's wrong with Saf? There's
loads wrong with Saf.
88.
What's your mouth?
That's what I thought, Lone Star. I thought it was 80s.
So I was 19. That's what I'm saying. I was a teenager. I was thrown in. I'm not lying. These are true stories. I know I can't back them up. My dad could. I was literally pushed over the wall because it was that dangerous. Mm. And I felt the venom coming up Avenel Road from the North Bank to the Clock End. I was pretty scared. And when we finished, I wanted to get home. It's like, I'm gone. But anyway.
So when you were growing up, were there boys that you met that were Tottenham supporters that you wouldn't have thought of going out with?
Oh, Irene, listen to me,
I've got a can of worms.
Okay, so my two cousins are Arsenal because of my dad. My uncle didn't like football, so he could convince them. And I go with my cousin to football to this day. The other one's in Australia and gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning like Soph does and is obsessed and comes back for every final and sits with us. My mum's family are completely Tottenham. I've got thousands and thousands of cousins that are Tottenham. Every wedding or bar mitzvah or anything we go to, there's me, dad and my cousin. And the rest are Tottenham. It's funny. But growing up in the area where I grew up, Irene, where Karen and Karen lives, everyone knows me. And they know I'm asked. It's the first thing, like Karen will say it to you as well. And what people don't know, that Irene's daughter Karen is a photographer and she took the photographs at my son's bar mitzvah, and there was nothing red, white, yellow, or blue because Jackie's not into football. So there wasn't one mention until a tiny bit in my speech. There was a little bit about 1989, and then Jack just looked to the ceiling, but everything was black and white. We did it as a cinema film theme, but it's just known. It's just known that my whole life is Arsenal. And honestly, I go out.
It's just too much to date someone who hates your team.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been out with a Tottenham fan when I was a teenager. But I did. I did about 8-9 years ago. I went out with a Tottenham fan, and we promised each other we wouldn't, banter each other about football. Not 8-9 years ago. It was about 5 years ago. And Tottenham started to get better, and they beat us, and he started, and I dumped him. It wasn't going to work.
It was never going to work.
I agree with you. I said to him, "You promised me. Now you've ruined it. You can't come into my family. You can't meet anyone because what's the point? They wouldn't want
you." Could you imagine putting him in front of Kelvin, for crying out loud?
First thing he asked, Archangel, sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah, you just don't do it. That is absolutely hilarious. I couldn't. It just being in the company of someone who would have a go. And now I think we're a bit more refined as fans. You just try and ease off the gas a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, really?
No, I've got worse.
Worse.
It's I've got worse because I've got older.
Maybe it's because of
love
the...
it, Irene. Love
I
it.
Have. I've got worse since I've got older. I
love
do.
It. Maybe because you feel like you've got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, I think also because I've got Zach. He is an Arsenal supporter. Yeah. So I've kind yeah. of got, there's, you know, I'm just so noisy and loud and banging. It's unbelievable. Even when I'm out walking, I do a lot of walking. If I see somebody that's got a kind of an Arsenal, might have like a knitted hat with an Arsenal, I say to them, oh, hope we... You know, I've kind of, I talk to people now, not, you know, just saying about football. So it's actually, you know, I've got more time to think about it. You're quite right. Somebody said that. I've got more time to think about it. So I'm more into it.
Irene, question for you, quick one. Zach's a young man.
Yes.
He starts getting older and he starts getting a girlfriend and she's she's Tottenham. What happens?
Oh, we're going over. Me and PG are going over.
I'll be honest with you.
She's having it.
I've got to be honest with you, knowing Zach, I don't think he could have a girlfriend.
I love him even more. Well done, Zach.
No, I don't think he could.
No, I don't think he could. I don't think his grandmother would let him either.
Well, I've got faith that wouldn't be any good for him.
Love that. I love that.
I really mean that.
Nice one. Nice.
Have you got any questions for us, or have you asked them, Irene?
No, I wanted to ask Kevin something. You were a footballer, professional footballer, when you were in the days that you were. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have been a footballer then, or do you think you'd like to be a footballer in these days?
No, I would not change it for all the tea in China.
I knew you'd say that.
All
I just,
the tea in China.
No, I thought that's because it is so different. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's so different. I mean, I could live the current life.
Yeah.
Through my sons.
Yes.
As a football dad.
Yeah.
But the great thing for me back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, Irene.
Yeah.
Is
it's different.
My first game was 1977. I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
As soon as I stood on that North Bank and I saw the green carpet, I was mesmerized.
Yeah.
I got the opportunity to sign for the club as a schoolboy. Get signed as a trainee.
Yeah.
Have Pat Rice help development. Vic Akers, Jordy Armstrong. You know, these are legends of the game who obviously you witnessed a lot more than I did playing.
Yeah.
Help develop me. George Graham was my manager. Make it in the first team. Score in front of the North Bank. Win trophies for Arsenal. As an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Come through with a group of young, talented players and make and mean something to the supporters. For me, I couldn't change that for the world. Money,
no.
If you offered me all the money, I would take it because the memories
are asking. Yeah,
the memories alone supersede everything else.
And it would be different today, wouldn't it? It just wouldn't be the same, really, would it? Because football is so different.
And do you know, Irene? Do you know? Maybe you could tell me, because that's the way I felt, and a lot of fans I speak to feel the same. When you were at Highbury and George Graham was manager, and obviously Arsene Wenger at Highbury, there was a connection between the fan and the players.
Yeah.
You could relate to the players.
Yes.
I think now there's more disjointed now. I don't see that connection as much.
No, there's not. Well, everything is different, isn't it, really? It is so different. And the thing with me is I knew their names then.
Yeah.
I don't even now. I've only got to go by the numbers because I can't pronounce their names. I have to write them down phonetically. Otherwise, I can't remember them. But no, it was very different. In fact, we used to wait in Avenel Road, or I can't remember what road, by the little Arsenal shop, when the cars drove in.
Avenel Road.
And you could... I had all the pictures taken with Karen, with George Graham, with all the players. You could just stand and talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, God, you couldn't do that now. Rocky Road.
Again, the connection.
Someone wants to know what you thought about Rocky. He's obviously a fan favourite of ours. Tell us what you think of Rocky and what he meant to you.
Oh, I think he was just magical. I just thought he was... It was just Rocky, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Again, I mean, I don't know. How long did he play at Arsenal for?
Well, he was there from a schoolboy, remember?
Yeah. So
he was there from a schoolboy. I think he left when he was, what, 25 or something like that?
Yeah. But I just thought he was, in fact, in a way, positions, I don't know where people play because I'm not very good at that. But he almost reminded me a little bit of Santa Cazorla. Although he might have not played in the same position, he just kind of had some around him.
Aura, the ability.
I've heard what Ian Wright thought of him. I've read the book and everything.
KC's got a sweatshirt he wears on the show and he flashes it to us when he wears it, and we've talked a lot about him in the past, and I mean he was magical. What a magical player. Who's your favorite all-time player, Irene, across the decades that you've followed the Arsenal?
Well, I did say Santon Cazorla. That's obviously a bit more the modern type of time. I loved Liam Brady. I loved Chippy. I did, really. Ian Wright, you know, but if it's going to be my number one, it's got to be Santa Cazorla. To me, he was just, when he came on, it was just, you knew something was going to happen. He just had it all, really.
He kind of brought back the players who got you off your feet, you know, syndrome. You know, we had that a lot in the day. We had it with some, you know, Thierry Henry did that, Dennis. When he got the ball, Dennis
you knew.
Yeah, you knew something magical was going to happen. Ian Wright did the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Kev's era, there were just players that just made you get off your feet because of the excitement of knowing what they were going to do. And Santi kind of brought that back. Dare I say, when Alexis Sanchez came in too, he may have left in weird circumstances, but he was a player who got us off our feet. And we never really had a lot of that at the Emirates. I think Robin Van Persie did it a little bit too.
You're right, yeah. But I read today somewhere that they're talking about Rowe Smith, you know.
Smith Rowe.
I do get confused this time of night. Smith Rowe. They think he might, he could actually take over when he was older, that type of position, really. Yeah. I read it on, I don't know if it was Arteta said it, something on my Arsenal thing. On my phone.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about Smith Rowe today.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
I haven't heard it, I know he was talking about it.
He's friends with it. He knows the family, I think, and obviously Ian's ingrained in the club and stuff, but he was the one that kind of told the stories about driving him from South London to...
Yeah.
Hayland and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, so many great stories.
They were talking about him in that type of position. They feel would that eventually where he would be, that type of position.
Irene, here's someone, because I remember, okay, so strange thing is Alan Ball and his family lived two streets down from us in Palmer's Green. There was a while, and everyone was like blown away that Alan Ball lived on Berkshire Gardens, and it was kind of one of those, wow, Alan Ball lives like here? Do you remember... Alan Ball, and I just wanted to put John's question up when he played. But that you got that type, that era, Kev, as well, that, you know, the Alan Balls of the world. And when you think about how spoiled we are as a club, and you go back and you look at these moments, you think, wow, so many ballers who played for the Arsenal.
Incredible history.
Well, we've been spoiled. One of you said that before. We've been totally spoiled all those years, really, from when... It just got better and better and better. It never, didn't it, really, all those years?
Totally.
Go on, Irene.
No, I was going to say, just imagine what the Tottenham supporters must have felt all those years.
Oh, well.
Well, still, they haven't won anything. Unfortunately.
No, they did in 1961.
Yeah, but that's a good point that Irene makes, because I think that's why there's a lot of animosity. Because could you imagine, you keep looking across the road and your rivals or your neighbour keeps upgrading their house and they're upgrading their cars and they're getting all the success and all the glory.
Yeah, but you see, we can see it that way a little bit now, because all we ever knew was winning.
Yes.
You know, didn't we? We didn't know any different. So we just were on that bandwagon and we went with it. So we didn't even bother to think what other... Tottenham supporters
the feeling,
might think or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's one for you from Virginia, Irene. Do you think we can win any big trophies in the next 2 or 3 years with Arteta if he's still manager? What do you think about Arteta, and what do you think about Virginia's question for you?
Yes, I have faith that I think in the next 2 or 3 years, yes. I think we'll get it right. I think we will win something without a doubt. I think he will get it right. I think we've got some wonderful young players to go with what we've got now. And I do. I hope so, because I've had a bet.
Nice one. I like it, Irene.
I did all right last year. I got it in my Arsenal tanker. Do you know one of those tankers? They did a kind of just a few, I don't know, I 200 or 300 at a time. So yeah. I've got my bet in there. So I did all right last year. So I laid it out on other bets this year.
In fact,
that was a bet I wanted and I couldn't get it on, that Arteta would lift a trophy in the next 2 or 3 years, right? But I just couldn't get that bet on. None of the bookmakers would take that. I don't know why.
Well, I'm not surprised after he won the FA Cup because he's thinking, hey, she knows something, this one.
No, that was before the FA Cup. Yes, really, it was something they didn't want to do. I think you'd have to do it online. Well, that's no good for me. I can only do a text message, so that's the end of it for me.
Irene, so when I went to football in the late 70s, early 80s, there was about three women there. One of them I'm still friends with. One of them was Maria, and there was another lady in the North Bank. But I didn't, I mean, there might have been other women, but I didn't see them. Did you see women when you were there?
Whereabout did you sit when you had your season ticket?
I was East Stand upper block. I was on the borders of E&F, down the North Bank.
Well, where we used to sit, there were just one or two women that I knew anyway. I knew a girl from Allison. She went to, she went to Bill's school, local school where we are.
That's where Allison, I went, yeah.
Yeah, Allison Marks.
Rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, she sat there with her dad and her uncles, and there was a couple of other people. So, but hardly any at all. And I mean, I was not as vocal then. I remember because there used to be a woman that sat right down at the front. She was so vocal, and I used to think to myself, "Oh my God, listen to that mouth!" Yeah, listen to that mouth. But I mean, I think that's what I must be now. Last time I went to the Emirates was that.
It wasn't Maria, was it?
Yes, I was thinking that. Did you know Maria?
Yeah, I think yes. That I was in the West Stand. Remember, I was just.
So was she?
Yes.
Yeah, Maria. Oh, I think.
Yeah. Oh, what a voice! Bless her.
Bless her.
Oh yeah. You can hear Maria all the way to station.
Yes.
And she's been, talk about someone who's followed the Arsenal everywhere. Women's,
sure,
men's
her,
team.
Yes.
Yeah. She's incredible.
And the youth team, by the way.
Yeah, all of them.
Let's not forget that. I got to know Maria. She used to come to the youth team games at London Colney. Watch the Southeast Counties away games. But she always made sure she always got back to Highbury.
Yeah,
what a home game, always.
I love this. You know, even when I started going to the football, and Amanda says too, and I can't even imagine what it was like for Irene, but some guys looked at you as if you didn't belong there, you know?
Yeah.
And that used to happen a lot. But I would go toe-to-toe with them in the sense that I felt like I knew as much about football, not
absolutely
only about the Arsenal, but about other teams, Irene,
yeah,
as much
yes,
as they
yeah
did, right?
You're right, but in later years, I mean, maybe in the 90s, there used to be a woman's just travel club.
Yes.
I don't know if they still have it or they did have it, because one of my customers, she used to say to me, oh, perhaps when you don't work, you can blah, blah. And it's where they used to go to all the away matches and they used to stay in the hotels. And that was just for women. So obviously more women were going. That might have been the 90s then.
That was good, yeah.
I mean, this has been absolutely amazing. And look, see, I'm not getting blamed today. It's Irene time today, everyone. It's not Sophie time.
Come on, Irene.
And look, the Darlington fan Ian in the house wants Irene ultras now. I mean, we're starting fan clubs. Our squaddies are loving this, Irene. They're absolutely loving it.
You've got to be a true gooner to be able to appreciate it.
I've got some quick fire questions for you from some of our listeners, right? Who's your favourite ever Arsenal goalkeeper?
Pat Jennings.
Bless him.
Yeah.
I can't find them because we've got 260 plus people in live chat tonight. Be sure to hit that like button, you guys. And if you're a first time visitor, hit that subscribe button as well. We would really appreciate it. Another question for you was coming in from, what's your worst moment as an Arsenal fan? Like where were you gutted the most? What was the game or the moment that just was like killed you? For me, it's the Ryan Giggs goal in the FA Cup semi-final.
Oh. You see, when you get to my age, you tend to forget some of these things that are so beautiful. I'd have to think about that one, really, because I seem to have had, I'll tell you something, I've had more worse moments now, the last couple of years. I can tell you about plenty of those when we got knocked out of the cup.
Yeah.
Not all those years ago, but that to me was something I don't ever remember feeling like that when we were knocked out of the cup recently. So I'd have to pass on that one. That'd have to be a recent one.
Okay. Some people are saying the losing in the Champions League to Barcelona, losing to Valencia on penalties. The Bergkamp penalty miss in that semi-final. That I bet my house on that night.
Gus Caesar, I'll never forgive him.
What is wrong with you?
I will never forgive him. You know that.
Was that your worst player? Was that your worst player for us?
If my dad ever comes on, and we are getting my dad on, as soon as lockdown's over and I can show him how to use StreamYard, he's coming on. He will go on about Gus Caesar the whole time. It's hilarious. We've just brought up like that. The Birmingham final with Koscielny and Chesney, wasn't it? Yeah, life. But Barcelona in the Stade de France was the only ever European away game I've been to. Wasn't as heartbreaking. Naeem was heartbreaking.
That was brutal.
Paul Gascoigne in 1991 made me cry at Wembley. I've never cried so much. I couldn't speak, which is unheard of. And I had to come all the way home from Wembley amongst Tottenham fans. So when the donkey won the derby a year later...
2 years.
He did make up for it that moment, but we sort of did.
Poor Glenn. He was on his honeymoon when we lost 8-2 to United.
Oh, God. That was horrible coming home from Wembley when you've lost to Wembley.
Yeah, Gus Caesar. I'm telling you. Ruin my life.
We're not far from Wembley, but it's like you've traveled from the other side of the world. It was such a long journey home.
Totally. But what about your happiest moment then? No. Let's switch gears, because a lot of people are asking you for your happiest moment as a Gooner. Moment that you love the most.
Well, I've said it before, when we became the Invincibles, when that last match to me was everything, because I just knew, I know there's been other matches and championships and but that to me was always something I knew that would be ours and we'd never...
Was your dad still alive, Irene? Did he see the Invincibles or not?
What year was that now?
2004.
No, he died in... years later. No, he died in 1986. But that to me was the ultimate thing, because I always felt it was so hard to do. We did it, and I'd still believe nobody would ever do it again. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know what? When we're out of lockdown, you should go walking with my dad. You live about 2 minutes from each other.
Everyone's going after poor Kelvin.
I do 8-10 miles a day.
He's often out. He's always in his Arsenal hat and tracksuit, honestly.
Oh, maybe I've chatted him up and I didn't even know. Sorry.
Kelvin's been keeping it quiet. Kelvin, Amanda, leave Kelvin alone.
Well, don't tell June anyway.
You're going to get June to... Kelvin.
I did get summarised sorted out.
Yeah, Kelvin. Oh my God, Kelvin's gonna get it now.
When I see somebody with a hat on and got Arsenal, I always say, "Oh, we're gonna be all right this weekend."
Irene. He's definitely like that. He'd chat to you for ages, honestly. You've probably seen him in Tesco. Honestly, he's hilarious.
Oh God, that's just too funny.
But to be fair, the older generation have got the best stories. They really have. Some of my dad's stories, I don't even know that he'll probably tell us on
the show. Kelvin ain't going to be telling anyone's stories now.
Kelvin's a bit in trouble. Yeah, DKA, he's been in
I do remember who your dad was, right? But he might know who I am now, and he might see me, and he might cross over the road now.
Yeah, exactly.
Get in trouble.
He's got
We're coming for you, Kelvin.
Hey, listen, Kelvin's got his orders now. Avoid that woman.
My mum would be like, go.
Kelvin.
Drop the neck. Hey, if you speak to her, I'll break your... Drop the neck.
Do you know how much my dad is obsessed? He had to have a few years ago, he had to have a little bit of heart surgery. And the first thing he said to me was, it's all right, he's a Man City fan, he's not Tottenham. I mean, he's literally in hospital. And there's so many. But he doesn't find his way of life mad, where everyone else finds
it. Yeah, I must
it.
Just tell you, I've got to go for checkup tomorrow to see the cardiologist. And I'm going to ask Zach so he can tell me what this is, because he's a gooner. So I'm going to ask Zach to write down... He can write, because he knows we're on Instagram, but I'm going to give it to him when I see him at Holly tomorrow. I'm going to say, this is what I was on last night, so you can watch it.
Yeah. We need breathe nice and deep. Yeah. We need to feel calm.
Good for your heart, Irene. This is good for your heart. Good don't worry
heart
about
and soul,
it. And
yeah.
Do you know what? Oh, by what I'm seeing in the chat room, Irene, all the squaddies love you. Love and it has just
Big
been...
Time.
Hour and 10 minutes of you were supposed to be on for 20 minutes. It's fantastic.
We hope everything goes well with your checkup anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Gonna have to come back. We're gonna have to get you on like
I'd love to
a regular segment. Well, hold on a second. We're not sure about that one now.
Don't let June know.
Do you know what's going to be hilarious? My dad plays this the next day and my mum hears it all. This is brilliant. Boy. She's always saying, I hear that Sophie and I hear that Kevin.
Where's this Irene?
June, got easy. I'm telling you.
I love how she's so old school because back in the day they say, that lady, that that Kevin, that Sophie, that
man. Brilliant.
My mum.
Yeah.
She honestly, listen, Irene, Mother's Day, we're playing Tottenham, okay? I've already planned the morning, so I see my son get over to my mum, stand on the driveway and come back again. That's going to be, so I'm ready for the afternoon. She hates people, but you know the good thing, she gets it. So, you know, I don't have to say to her, Mum, we can't go out to lunch today because it, you know, before lockdown, because Arsenal fan, because she knows of my dad.
Yeah.
If any arrangement she makes goes through the Arsenal calendar. That's how I was brought up. So.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you know. And that's what you love.
Yep. And we
I
love
don't know
you.
If we're seeing all the comments, but I'm trying to, this episode is in the Squaddies Hall of Fame. lots of love from to you from, and these are people and fans from all corners of the earth, Irene, from the US to South America to Africa,
India,
Asia, and you know, I mean, you're getting a lot of love from, and it's like, we love you, Irene.
Right, Irene, tell us where you and Zach are so some of our followers can go and follow you.
I'll have to ask that because I can't remember. Zach, what are we on?
Come in, Zach.
We're on Gooner.
Can we see him? Can we not
Where's
see
Zach?
Him?
Zach, say
come
hi. Zach,
just got, come and say hello for a second.
Come say hello for a second. You got your. He's got look another one. Look, it was already with the top. We're matching.
Hey Zach.
How are you, Zach? You all right?
Yeah.
Nice
Can you say what we're on?
Gooner Action Live on Instagram.
Gooner Action Live.
Thank you, Zach. Gooner Action Live. Go and follow Irene.
Irene and Zach.
They do a little show. It's so cute.
Yeah. We're gonna do another show with Zach.
I've just heard. Sorry, Gooner underscore
Action underscore. Live.
I wouldn't know. To me, the only score I know is a football score.
That's
Irene, people want to build. People want to build a statue. We've all had this conversation. Who gets a statue next outside the Emirates? The votes are coming
in. I've already said it. Already said that in the Instagram last week. I think eventually, I think Saka will have a statue.
Whoa.
I do. I really do. I think he'll be a legend.
That's a big call.
Special talent, yes.
No, I think as years to come, I just said it. We were talking on Instagram. I think he'll be a legend. I really do. I think he was made. I think he genetically, he's what he is and worked very hard. I do.
Brilliant
lovely,
stuff.
Lovely,
well, look,
brilliant.
You're going to have to come back on the show. We're also going to do a show.
Thank you.
Zach doesn't know it yet, but we want to, we're planning and we'd like to do a show with a lot of the Arsenal Academy and young Gooners and stuff like that, which we want them to ask, have lots of questions about what it is to be involved and want to play football, but love football. And how there's so many, you know, even if you don't make it as a young footballer, the sport is ripe with just wonderful jobs and things to do. And so connecting them with Kev and the Squaddy community as well, we're looking forward to that. But you've been an absolute rock star. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely. Absolutely. Really has.
Irene, thank you. You've been a star. Thank you so thank much you. For coming on. We'll speak thank to you, you soon.
Irene, yeah. lots of love, my darling. Lots
Keep
of love.
Safe.
All the best tomorrow.
Keep
and
safe.
You take good care. And
good luck
give
tomorrow.
My regards to all
thank
the family.
You. I'll Will
give
do.
Our regards.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. What a fantastic.
I tell you, I get you some good guests.
What a fantastic.
Guests,
she was brilliant.
Here we go.
Absolutely
here we go.
Brilliant.
God, she's
go on,
so lovely.
Go on. Do one of these. Let's do this. Yeah. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, she loves that, doesn't she, this one? Yeah.
Let's add them on to Clive and Robbie and Alison.
No, hold on, hold on. No, hold on. Turns up one day a week and all of a sudden wants to take all the accolades.
There we go.
What's all this about?
All right, listen, Kev.
How do you mean, oi, you?
Post-show.
What's all this about?
Oi,
all this patting himself on the back. No, oi, none of that.
Last week,
it's a
team
effort. You and her, it's a
team. I'm in the background. Last week, post-show, what you didn't see was I wrote all my, didn't I? So, what am I trying to say? All my players' ratings down. Very professional. Pen and paper. Post-show last weekend.
Well, I am corrected.
I turn up once or twice a week. But...
Well done. Look, it's been an amazing week. One team, one dream. Thank you, Lone Star Londoner. Gosh, all of a sudden I've got this heartache for wanting to be in London tonight. Oh gosh.
No, you don't. Nothing's
open. Not
going
anywhere.
Couple of months.
Yeah,
we'll all be in London every night.
London, yeah.
Honestly.
We're so happy you enjoyed that. And that's the beauty of our show, right? We always say to you guys, we like to bring you different stories from all corners of the earth. And this is a generational show. You know, we love our young listeners. The middle ground, and there's a lot of people out there who still have great stories to tell from back
Amanda,
in the day.
Amanda, I hope your dad don't get in trouble now.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Oh, he's in big trouble.
James
Johnston.
I'm not even gonna. I'm not even gonna warn him. Just
don't.
Look at this comment. Say hello to Kelvin for me.
Well, funny enough, James. Used to sit with his dad in front of us at Highbury, which I never knew. So James must have been a wee boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone, if you know my dad, you just know what he's fantastic. He's lovely and he's my number one.
Amazing. I love it. Johnny just... Boy's like, Irene should be fronting the show. Just kidding. Oh, I love it. So brilliant. Brilliant
But you
stuff.
Know what's fantastic is that even before me, you and Kev were born, what's the Lone Ranger? Yeah, people sell.
That would
have
been,
how.
That would
no,
have
we
been
tried,
funny.
We tried.
What
that's a show in
Summer transfer window.
Yeah,
I'm in California, mate. Real Giannis. I'm in California. Yes. Kevin's walk. Tick tock. Kelvin's walk. Tick tock. Yep. Tick tock. Gonna be in trouble.
I'll be getting a phone call tomorrow from my mum, won't I?
All right, Amanda,
mum,
you guys.
Who is this Irene?
I'm in trouble. It's ridiculous.
How this has become about my dad.
We literally buried Kelvin tonight. I mean, it's just.
He's going to think, what's going on? I love the show, but I can't watch.
You know what? One of the very funny stories about my dad, and honestly, again, you had to be there, literally chasing wardens up the road to check that we've parked in the right place at away games. He'd be gone. I'd be going to my cousin, where is he? You know, he'd be gone straight, chatting away, schmoozing everybody to try and get as good spaces. But you know what? If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be an Arsenal fan, and that's the end of it.
He only, I love this comment. Too much toxic positivity here. Yes, Michael. I love that. Also, I think the only way to follow up the next fan forum is for Kelvin to come on.
He is, I promise you.
All right.
But trying to explain, you think I'm bad at IT.
I'll have a word. Or maybe I'll do like a tester.
A takeover.
You should surprise me.
Take over his PC.
So, So if yeah. you organise it with my dad, you surprise me one night. One day he just turns
to my boyfriend. By the way, moonlighting again.
I know. He's got a little crush on our soap.
Yeah, hey, I tell you what, your dad's a right player, isn't he? I tell you what.
You know what, I actually think he likes Sophie and Irene better than he likes me. Although he probably doesn't even know Irene.
Of course he doesn't.
Anyway, right, we're gonna have to go, but before we do, we don't do watch alongs, we just do
never.
That's not our style.
No,
we don't,
you couldn't watch with me, I swear too much.
And thank you, Shady. Thanks to everyone, all the squaddies. Honestly, Johnny Boy, thank you so much. Hit the like button, of course, to all our regulars. We can't do this without you. You're absolutely brilliant. And a lot of you are writing to ask us for a prediction for tomorrow. We're gonna be on after the game tomorrow. You're going to have to cope with me being in the dark and in my pajamas again because we're kicking off at noon. God, 2 weeks in a row. Can we make it 2 wins in a row? PG, what is your take?
Well, I did tweet about this. I had about 5 minutes today and I thought, right, football's tomorrow. I hate 12:30, but I'm going for a 2-1 win, even though I still think we're crap at 12:30, even though we won last week. I just think we're going to win 2-1.
I said 2-1 as well, to be honest. I did. But you know what? I think we're gonna win 3-1. I'm gonna just add a goal on.
Oh, you're upping it.
Yeah, I'm gonna up it because I think I'd like to think we've turned a little corner. And do you know what? We owed them after they beat us with an Aubameyang goal at the Emirates. We owed them one. So let's beat them 3-1. Let's just win.
Yeah, I don't care. Even if VAR help us win, I hate the thing. Yeah. But and I've seen so much controversy about VAR. I didn't see anything last night. I just hope VAR's on our side tomorrow, please. Yeah.
Well, the scores are coming in thick and fast. Listen, if Tottenham can beat them 4-0, I say we beat them 4-1. Because I think they'll get a penalty. Because that's how it works for us.
I'm already plussing for Sunday week.
No. One game at a time. We've got Olympiacos in the middle. Then exactly. we get to that.
Yeah. Have we? Right. Yeah.
So, 4-1 win for me. And we'll be back tomorrow after the game, you guys. So come join us if you are around. And don't worry, if you can't, there'll always be a show replay for you. I posted earlier on the Highbury Squad all the content from this week, the Monday Madness show, Kevin Says, our Europa League and Premier League best 11. Also tonight's show, of course, we will post the show replay in just a few. And I'm missing one show.
The Lone Rangers.
The Lone Rangers, which, by the way, a lot of people enjoyed the title for that. So thank you. And then on Sunday, we will also send out our schedule for the week. As you know, we come to you every single day. The lockdown series has been amazing for us, as it has for you. And Amanda, we've gotten some fantastic letters from you guys, honestly.
We have.
You guys keep us going as much as we do you.
The way we're going, we'll be in the TV Times soon. We'll have to run out of our schedule every night, won't we?
Listen to this one, Casey. Hey?
Amazing. Yeah, we'll have to have a schedule. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I do lots of work in the background, I'll have you know.
Listen, I ain't knocking your work in the background, my dear.
No, we're just having a crack.
It's just a patting on the back when you bring someone on all of
someone.
A sudden.
That's brilliant. Yes.
No, and she was brilliant. Irene was.
She was absolutely
brilliant. I'm trying to find the post that I want
and,
to
and
read.
People asking about Hugh Wizzy. Hugh Wizzy is on next Friday, you guys. Can't wait for that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, he is. We've got John Harkes on Tuesday. We've got Kevin Says next week. We've got a good friend of the show, Andonis, who heads up Gazeta in Greece to preview the Olympiacos game with us before Thursday. We've got Hugh Wizzy coming on Friday. And we'll have Monday Madness on Monday, of course. So we've got a packed show. We're going to have a special guest as well, Geordie Pete, which I'll tell you a little bit more about on Monday. But we're hoping to do a double show on Thursday. So we'll be out in the afternoon, and then we'll be with you after the Olympiacos game as well. So, Amanda, did you find what you wanted?
Yeah, I did, actually. I got a lovely comment on Instagram from a guy called Diego from Scotland. He loves watching the show. Massive Celtic fan. loves Kieran Tierney, and now his kids support Arsenal because of Kieran Tierney. And hello, Diego. Thank you so much for all the messages. The fact that you subscribed, even though you're not very good at IT stuff like me, he's very, really pleased that Kieran's doing well for us. His kids love him, so they've got Arsenal kits. And just to say that he wrote to me and said he loves the show. Just brilliant. A Celtic fan from Scotland. We love all our non-Arsenal fans following us. So I wanted to give a big shout on it, and to his two lovely children as well. Thank you so much. We've had lots of DMs and stuff. We've got lots of people that are struggling out there. So literally on social media, why don't we make it a place where people can come and not be abused and not be like have this toxicness on social media? Why not make it a wonderful place for the next couple of months? Because we're still in lockdown, people. We're not out of it for quite a while yet. And people need help. And a big smile and a bit of fun. If you don't like someone's team, have a laugh about it. You don't have to take it all so personal.
Yeah, exactly.
Be nice. It costs nothing to be nice. And if you follow Kev and you see Kev's messages every day about being kind and being loving and checking on your neighbours, costs nothing.
Exactly.
Kindness costs nothing.
And yes, Mike, we're going to fit your show in as well. We haven't forgotten about the My Big Fat Greek Feinberg birthday.
Oh, yes. We're on the show. Is it next Friday?
That's for sure. It's next Friday. We'll be very busy next week, put it that way. And yes, all of it is, listen, we love you guys and we're always here and we love all your notes. And, you know, this is a positive show. We try to be... We're critical, right, Kev, when we need to be about our team, but that comes with...
Yeah, that comes with the territory of results.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So thanks to everyone. And let's see. I just wanted to put one more comment up. Set you up for the weekend. We've got you set for the whole week. Vinny Vieira's excited. He's loving it too.
Listen, tell me if any of you saw that picture of Vinny Vieira in the Dickie Bow tie.
I did.
Because he was rocking it.
He outshone you, Kev. I'm telling you, that's what I said too.
I love him. Red Nose John.
We're going to get Dickie Bows, and we're going to have Dickie Bow Thursday, listen, aren't we, Soph?
Yes. Red Nose John even commented. That tells you how much Vinny Vieira rocked it.
Kev, we need to get Red Nose John on this show because the stories that you'd have about Liverpool and Everton would be fantastic. We need to do that.
I'll tell you, I got photos of him enjoying the blue side. That's what I can say.
Well, look, we love our extended family. We love you, squaddies. I hope Zamir won. We'll let you know who won. Hopefully one of our squaddies won the Kieran Tierney shirt. There's going to be something else coming out for you next week from our friends at Football Prizes. Check them out at footballprizes.co.uk. We threw on a late sub for an Ian Wright shirt. So don't forget, when you go there, use the code SQUAD10 to get your 10% off. A lot of people have written to me this week about cutting my hair. Listen, I'm going to try and do that in the next week or so. People want me to cut my fringe. I will make sure that I get that done for you as well.
Your fringe.
It's hilarious.
It's like rat's tails.
Guess who started it? I know.
He's going on the naughty step.
Who's it? Go on.
Newman.
Absolutely. Newman started it.
We all know. I've been here all week and I know.
And if I could say
one thing about that comment about laughing is medicine. Pay it forward, people. Pay it forward. So many are struggling. You don't realise. So many. Just be nice. That's it. And that's my last bit. And we now have to finish. We've had 90 minutes.
We are. We're not going to extra time. Greeks and, you know, it's like saying goodnight. We're useless. We stand at the door, you know, and you can't let go.
It's called a Greek goodbye as well.
It's a Greek goodbye as well. All right. That's it for the week.
Yeah.
We're back tomorrow night or morning, depending on where in the continent you are. Until then,
always Arsenal.